Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this Monday night pre-storm. I'm still hoping that is every weather forecaster in America has gotten together to play an April Fool's joke, but it sounds like
a good call.
Sounds like it's happening. It is not too late to get in on our question of the day. What is the worst April Fool's joke you've fallen for? Have you fallen for an April Fool's joke? You can send On Stage for Cancer a question. Please be part of the show. Our phone number where you can text us is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Gotten some great texts already. Coming up later in the hour, documentarian Mar Garvey joins me. That will be fun, too. But right now, we've got a few more minutes with On Stage for Cancer, Kim Shefik, Chef Chick. Kim, just get me in a headlock and start wailing on me. I can't. And I've got Chwaba. I can relate to you because everybody gets my name wrong. I have to spell my name for every person I'm on the phone with.
It's okay.
Chef Chick.
I went to the matriarch of the family to ask, how do you pronounce this name? And even she said, I have no idea.
That's
so therefore, you say it however you want.
All right.
It's all good.
Kim. Chef Chick. I think I like that the best. It's just hard. It's not hard to say. It's just, it doesn't roll out. I guess. Yeah. Whereas Chris Piat.
Just pops right out.
Pops right out. Adam Korber.
Eh. It rolls a little bit.
It's great having you guys here tonight. The show is June 1st at the Widener Center, On Stage for Cancer, Audrey's Angels. You guys are still looking for sponsors. There's still seats available. We'll have to have you back on before the event, too, and see where you guys are at. I know your Doctors in Recital was a big success.
Yes.
You were here last time before that. Tell us how that went.
It went awesome.
Yeah.
We didn't quite hit a sellout at the Widener, but it was pretty full. And
nice.
We had a great crowd. We had a great great night. Probably, I think, the best show that we've had performance-wise. I mean, there was actually a standing ovation mid-show for one of the performances. And then at the end, I had so many people like, it was their first time coming and they just couldn't believe how good it was. You know, like I think people hear Doctors in Recital, like how good are these people thinking they are? But it was a really good show and we raised a good amount of money for some really wonderful charities and made a difference again by making music. That's our tagline for that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you have doctors who can actually sing. Okay. And I'm sure that's a much more successful event than musicians in surgery where...
It's funny because if you are good at, you know, fixing something in your garage, you could probably figure out half
brain
the
surgery?
Stuff that, well, maybe not brain surgery, but
I'd repair a torn ACL though. I'm not even handy though.
Sure. Can you use like a hammer, chisel?
Use whatever, but I have malpractice insurance too, which is important.
Yeah, that's good.
For a common citizen. So, Adam, before we hear you play again, disc golf. That's a great hobby for a guy who plays the cello.
I love it so much. It's the best thing ever.
And you've played Frisbee Ultimate, which to me is the greatest game that's ever been created.
It's similar.
Constant motion.
Yeah.
But disc golf is just throwing the disc, and then you walk. It's like actual golf, right? Like
It's more golfy. You're still like, you know, throwing a disc, which truly is the best pastime, is throwing a disc, right? That's the real fun part, and like watching it float and all that kind of, like, that's the fun part, right? If you like the competitive nature of it, then you can play Ultimate, but then you gotta be able to like sprint up
to
down the field and all that kind of, right? There's limitations. And then you get to disc golf. That's a solo sport. You can do it in winter. I play in winter.
Nice.
It's fun.
That is nice. Yeah,
it's crazy, but we do it. it's a blast. I love it. Found it during the whole COVID time because it was the safe way to interact with people at the time. And
that's
great. Sure.
You know, that's what we did with Ultimate, where I live. There's a group. It's like this little community. Mm-hmm. And we probably shouldn't have been playing Ultimate, but we're like, wow, we're outside at least. Sure. So we played it, and there is nothing more fun, even for a guy who doesn't run that fast, to run down a frisbee and sure. catch it. It's absolutely. Just, I love that game. So
I've never
much.
Played. Is this like soccer, right, where you're kind of passing it?
More like foot. It's like football, yeah. but if you like, if you know, they catch the football, but you gotta like stop in place, and then the entire team runs up, and then you like
you have to keep throw going, it, relay it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So and then if you, there's no dribbling, the
no,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. There, if you drop it, the other team picks then up and goes the other way. You can't play. Direction. Touch football after playing ultimate because the thrill it's constant motion mm-hmm. and it is so much fun. And the first time you play every year, you feel like you are going to die.
Zone defense will do that to you too. If you play yeah. zone defense, seriously, yeah. if you play zone defense in ultimate, you are getting a workout.
Even zone defense, just because right.
like, well, if you're playing like cup in the cup, like the little initial defensive
okay,
line.
You're using words
I know I'm
no
going into jargon and that's because right, I'm a frisbee head. I like frisbee. So it's fun. But like yeah. if you're playing cup, it's literally like constant sprinting. Like you don't stop. There's no stopping.
It's really fun.
This is probably why I've never played sprinting.
Like, you could put like ankle running, weights but... on everybody and make it even more fun.
Oh God.
So let's okay. So what do you have coming up next? We got to hear some.
Yeah. So before I played some Bach, this is the other bookend. So we've got the 1600s and the 1700s, and now we've got a dude that's still alive. So Mark Sommer is a cellist. He wrote this song called Julio. He's a famous member of the Turtle Island String Quartet for a number of years, but he is just known for doing jazzy type, rhythmically interesting. Stuff.
Very cool.
Oh gosh.
That's great. Let's
sure.
Whatever you just take it
yeah,
away.
That's gonna be great.
You've earned Adam, you've earned all of our trust.
Oh,
as a cellist.
Good.
As a celloist.
Celloist.
I'm glad. Cellist.
What can we do? Do you need me to
no?
Do you need a spotter?
Good. Nope, we're good.
Okay.
Nope. All is well.
No page turn.
No page turn.
No,
we're off the hook.
I'm off the hook.
Kim is off the hook. All right, this is Adam Korber on the cello. Thank you. Molly, a typical thing to say after someone just...
That was a visceral, guttural reaction to how awful of a mistake I made. But that's okay.
You didn't hear it. Yeah. Come on. That was great. Outstanding.
Oh, that one just came out. Sorry about that.
No, that was great. Thank you, Adam.
Cool. Very cool.
You guys, this is so great. We have about 60 seconds left. Can you tell me what... Obviously, the music lifts the spirits of, like, your friend Audrey, but can you talk a little bit about how much it raises the spirits of those around people or their caretakers, too? They need support, too, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a person in this world who hasn't felt emotionally connected to music, and I think it's probably the most unifying thing, unifying language and unifying way to communicate emotion. And so when people are struggling, just to take a moment and appreciate somebody's amazing gift and know that it was put forth to bring people together. Like, that's why people make music, is to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you realize the chemistry of your body, like, actually starts running in the same sequence as people who are playing music together. Like, we are meant to do music together. It's amazing.
That is a great... It's a great out for this interview. Well said, Kim. You guys are great. Thank you. Your event is June 1st. It's On Stage for Cancer. Where can people find out more information?
Our website, onstage4cancer. So onstage4cancer.
Are not a fad, folks. Check it out.
They aren't. It's no
April
Fool's.
Onstage for Cancer. All right. We wish you luck. Good luck getting the sponsors. Come back before the event. We'll do some more. This is so great. Thanks
so
much, you guys.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes, Mark Garvey and more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to...
Welcome back. That was really fun. That was the second time Kim Shevchik has been in the studio with two different groups. Chris Piatt was with her last time too. So much fun. They are so talented. And I can't believe, I love that this is a side hustle and they have all this talent, you know, just coming from people who do this as a side gig. It's just great. It was really fun. We'll have them back soon. Conrad, what did you learn?
That instrument looks really difficult.
It looks so difficult. It's difficult to watch a guy play it. Come on. Hey, you can still get in on tonight's question. Have you ever been April fooled? What happened? Tell us about it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. That's very easy, too. We got a text from... Oh, Sherry texting from the 707 Northwest Coast, California. Sherry says, this tonight has been awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being part of the fun here on Nightlight, like we try to have every night, regardless of what we're talking about. So Mar Garvey will be along soon. She's a great documentary filmmaker. She's made award-winning films, and she is going to be here in just a few minutes. In the meantime... You know, Conrad, I feel like we had Todd Townsend on the show last week, a former Marquette baller, and I was so looking forward. He said, I'll come back if they make the Final Four. Yeah. They didn't make the Final Four. Who do you go for now? Like, Wisconsin's out.
NC State.
Absolutely NC State, right? Typically, I always go for the Big Ten. I was an Illinois fan growing up. Still like them, but not as much as the Badgers. They're gone. Literally, there was no one, and kind of like Creighton, I'm like, oh, maybe I could cheer for Creighton, but boy, NC State, they look tough. They do not look like an 11 seed.
No, they don't, and they won their conference in the conference play, so good for them. Yeah, I mean, they're a fun team to watch.
Wait a minute, they won their conference?
Yeah, that's
the tournament.
That's how they got the 11 seed, actually.
Okay, that makes sense. That big dude.
He's really...
He is fun to watch, man.
And if you're watching the game, he has other hustles besides basketball.
Oh, really?
He actually owns vending machines.
Oh, I love this guy.
Yeah. So that's one of his other hustles. So that's pretty cool.
I would love to own vending machines.
Right.
Where did I go wrong? Do his vending machines sell Big Bite hot dog water, though? That's what I want to know.
I don't think so. About it. They should.
They should. Everybody should. So, yeah, I guess I'd go for NC State. If not NC State, let's rank them. I'll go NC State, Purdue, and then who is it, Alabama?
Yeah, it's Alabama.
I'll go for UConn, then Alabama. Those are my four ranked.
Well, mine's going to be NC State.
Yeah.
Then UConn, Alabama, then Purdue.
What? Whoa. Time out here, big time.
I cannot stand Purdue.
Really?
I just can't stand him.
Why? Who is it? Is it Matt Painter? Is it the look on his face he always has?
It's just that, you know, I'm a big Wisconsin fan. And every time they play each other, they get every call that they want.
Hmm.
I just can't stand their team right now.
Okay. You got to admit that. What's his name?
He gets half of his points from the line. I'll say that.
I know, but like for a guy good, that's 7'4" yeah. to move like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, he is. He's
insane.
Good.
Insane. Well, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'm hoping NC State can pull it off. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be sweet. Hey, if you haven't checked out the news podcast, you got to do that. Civic Media, what they do is they put the news podcast on a link on every local Civic Media radio station webpage. So you go to the individual station. In this case, it would be WGBW. And it will say news podcast. Am I getting that right? It says news podcast. I don't want to steer people wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. It does.
Let's check that out. Let's go to the Google. And we'll get
Let's
the stations.
Let's go to the Google.
That's right. All shows, stations, that's what we want.
See, now this is good radio. Right
this here. Is good radio. I cannot click on stations for some reason. It's like it's head faking me. But you go there and you click and there's a link and you get all the news from the day. You get sports, weather. I do a Hollywood Minute that's there and you get actual news. It's really cool. If you have not checked it out, you can get a whole day's worth of news in like 8 minutes. It's great.
Yeah, so you get the full entertainment beat, that full 3 minute one.
That's true. Right. Because I do an entertainment minute that airs every top and bottom of the hour, correct?
Yep.
And then we wrap it all up and put it on the news podcast, and it's about 3 minutes of Hollywood fun. Some of them are jokes. Some of them are informative. Lou Gossett died last week, and that is a shame. He was such a fun actor, and I was on The Devil's Advocate last Friday at 3:30 with Crudy, and we talked about Crudy loves an officer and a gentleman, and Lou Gossett played the sergeant who was training all the new... I think they were the Navy. I haven't seen that movie in so long. Anyway, he played a scene on his show where Lou Gossett was sparring with Richard Gere, and he just kept beating him up and trying to get him to basically tap out of the military. And there's a scene where Richard Gere just yells, "I got no place left to go." And he's half crying, half angry. It is an awesome scene in what is a pretty good movie overall. But Lou Gossett will be missed. He was also in a great film called Digstown. And he just had a lot of grit in his acting. So he will be missed. That was a shame. Got another text here from Aunt Carla checking in from the 608. Wisconsin brought down the Giant.
They did.
They did. I wish they.
I wish they went against Illinois, but.
And that might have gotten them into the tournament, right? I mean, you think they would have made it anyway?
Yeah, they would have made it, but if they would have won, I think they would have got a little bit of a better seed. Not too much, though.
Yeah,
I think they would have got like a 4 instead of a 5.
Did you
5.
Want them to have a better seed, though?
Honestly, James Madison was a tough matchup right away. So,
I know, but...
Yeah, I would have actually wanted them.
So in this age, folks, of AI and all this stuff with... There's an interesting scene. I clipped this about a week ago for Matthew Broderick's birthday. Conrad, it's the War Games clip.
Yeah.
I found this fascinating because I had not seen the movie in years, but it's a great film. And Matthew Broderick is really good in it. Ali Sheedy plays his girlfriend. He's a kid who hacks into this guy's website, and it's a computer program that plays global warfare, and the computer talks to you. Very foreshadowing for AI, right? Do you have that? Let's play that, Conrad, if we have time.
You want to hear it talk?
Yeah.
I'll ask it how it feels.
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent.
It's been a long time. Can you explain the removal of your user account on June 23rd, 1973?
They must have told that he died. People sometimes make mistakes.
Yes, they do.
How can I talk?
It's not a real voice. This box just interprets signals from the computer and turns them into sound.
Shall we play a game?
Oh.
I think I missed him.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Wouldn't you prefer a good game of chess?
Later. Let's play global thermonuclear war.
Fine.
And they do. And it's a, like, he's a kid. He's a high school kid thinking that this computer is just kind of messing with him. Really fun movie. Check it out. War Games. Mark Garvey is up next. We're going to talk filmmaking. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Barreling through a Monday night here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Aunt Carla from Baraboo from the 608 says, "Officer and a gentleman, yes." Definitely one of Lou Gossett Jr.'s. He was so great in that. And then Jim from Appleton says, "Enemy Mine," which I totally forgot about. I saw that like as a kid. Dennis Quaid, I think, was the other, the sane Quaid was the other actor in that film. And now I'm curious. I may have to go check that out again. Jim, thank you for the text. Yeah. So, boy, it's a fun show, huh, Conrad?
Yeah, definitely.
Did I wake you?
I think so.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I was nodding off now, but before that, I was having a really good time. Hey, and the fun continues. I'm very excited to welcome this next guest to Nightlight. We have a mutual friend, and I feel like when you have a mutual friend with someone, you kind of already develop opinions about that person. And they're all good in this case, because our mutual friend is Kara Mulrooney. And she was nice enough to introduce me to our next guest, filmmaker Mark Garvey. Hey, Mar.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? Nice to meet you.
I'm great. You too. I hope I can live up to your expectations. That was a great entrance.
Listen, you have been highly regarded and spoken of, so there is no pressure. I know nobody could live up to the way Kara. But it's great to have you. Have you ever been April fooled, Mar?
I haven't. I was thinking of your question earlier, and I think, like everything I love about the States, the holiday is bigger here. So back in Ireland, it's just like a day. It's not a big deal. But so we haven't, not that I can think of. Maybe I have, and I haven't cottoned on that it was a joke yet.
Well, this is interesting because right now I hear your Irish brogue. I've been fooled so many times on April Fools in my life. I think you're fooling me right now, and you're really a girl from Milwaukee.
Indeed, deepest, darkest Northwoods of Wisconsin. Yes.
I had no idea you were Irish. That's pretty cool. How long have you been here?
Fully Irish. I'm from County Clare, and I came, Pete, in November 2019 for a year to Chicago. And the idea for that year was I was going to meet people, go to things, and then the pandemic happened. So I was indoors for most of that. But I loved it anyway, so I went back to Ireland for a couple of months and then came back, and I've been here since 2021, so nearly 3 years, which is
gone by. You must like it here.
I do. Yeah. I love it.
Are you in Milwaukee, Mar, or Chicago?
I'm in Milwaukee. No, I'm in Milwaukee. I moved to Milwaukee summer 2022, so I've been here nearly 2 years.
Okay. There's a nice little Irish community in Milwaukee, right?
There is, I was surprised by, the biggest Irish festival in the world is in Milwaukee.
How about
Irish
that? Fest. Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Did you go?
I went 1 year.
Okay.
And I bought an Aran sweater. I feel like I'm never more Irish, Pete, than I am when I'm abroad. So I
was, yeah, you're just another Irish person when you're over there, but here you're special, right? Here.
Exactly. But it was great fun. It's a great festival if you get a chance to go.
Yeah, it is fun. I was there years ago, and now I don't do crowds, but
it's very crowded.
Yeah, it is, in a good way. I mean, it's a really fun. The stages are great. The music is great. I grew up around my neighborhood in Chicago, had tons of Irish dancers every March, St. Patrick's Day. So, yeah, I love St. Patrick's Day. But can you do the Irish jig?
I could.
I'm not going to ask you to do it right now.
I have to have lots of liquids beforehand. But I could. I mean, we all did it growing up, so it was very much like part of, I guess, elementary school age. I did it all myself. My sister did it. We won some trophies. But
wow, yeah. Nice.
It would take some persuading for sure.
You know, the only way I could win a trophy for dancing is if I danced and then went and bought a trophy at a secondhand store that used to belong to someone else. That's the only way I would win a dancing trophy. And that's my friend Mike Toomey's joke.
Be celebrating yourself. Celebrate your own achievement.
That's what. If I don't, who else will?
Yeah, exactly.
So you, when we swapped messages the other day, Mar, you were at a film event in Chicago. Can you tell us about it? How did it go?
Sure, it was great. So I work for Cartemquin Films, and we're remote mostly, but the office is in Chicago. So Cartemquin Films is Chicago born and bred, and we're non-for-profit. So we partner and work with and go to lots of arts and community events that are not for profit. And shout out to the Stage for Cancer folks. That seems like an amazing org. I might travel up and see that in June. So we do partner with kind of a lot of our films are like social justice. So there are a lot of orgs in Chicago doing that with screenings and plays and theater and all the rest of it. So yeah, we like to kind of show up for each other in that sense.
It is a really good outfit. I mean, I think I told you in our exchange that I've interviewed filmmakers from there on my TV gig, and everything they put out is just, like you said, whether it's social justice or bringing awareness to some type of issue I had no idea about. Such really good filmmakers. So what do you do there, Mar? Are you like kind of a studio executive?
I mean, studio executive in the sense that not-for-profit independent documentary person can be.
Well, yeah, but someone's got to do it, right?
You're not wrong. I'm a producer there. So basically the way we work is filmmakers come to us with an idea, and then, or they might be halfway into shooting their film, and we really support them in everything from developing the idea to see if it's a film. A lot of films don't need to be films, but a lot of our films, it could be their first film, so they may not know the landscape. It could be their 10th film and they're making a different film, and every film is different. So we support all of that work through production, through distribution. So when their film is done, we figure out where the audience is, get it on various channels. And I support the filmmakers from soup to nuts. So from right when they come into us until they graduate. Yeah.
So how did you get connected? You live in Ireland. You spent, it sounds like, most of your life there. How do you come to America, and within a couple of years, you got a great gig at this hotshot outfit. How does that happen? Were you doing that in Ireland too?
I was doing that. I'm the personality high here, so can you do? But yeah, so I took the scenic route to filmmaking, which I feel like a lot of people do. So I started off in Limerick, where I grew up, quite near County Clare. And then I went to London, lived in Sydney for a while, but I kind of always wanted to be in the States. And I feel like for filmmaking, you know, back in the day, it was the place to be, right? So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of channels, a lot of folks doing it for a living. So decided to come over here. And then in 2018, so only a couple of years ago, Pete. I got in touch with the Chicago filmmaker, and she is just an incredible, Margaret Byrne is her name. And I worked with her for a month. So got a grant to work there. Ireland, shout out. We support the arts. Like, our government supports the arts. So came over here for a month and just loved Chicago. And I feel like, I mean, part of our mission too is, you know, supporting filmmakers in the Midwest, keeping talent in the Midwest. And I was just so impressed by the community of independent filmmakers in Chicago and beyond, like, and in Milwaukee and Madison and everywhere. And just decided to stay. Like, why don't I just try living here and give it a go? And yeah, I was just really lucky, met incredible people who worked in Cartemquin. I feel like a lot of folks in the film industry, or in documentary anyway, in Chicago have worked or gone through or have had a film at Cartemquin. So yeah, I was looking up, and I started my job the 2nd of March, 2020. So extra lucky. Yeah. And I remember at the time, the office was going to be closed for like the 14 days. And I'm thinking, Americans are very dramatic. Like, this is, this is all fine. But it wasn't, anyway. But that's how I ended up. So just look and just kind of talking to people, putting myself out there, kind of saying what I wanted. And here I am in Milwaukee, living the dream.
That is so great. That is the voice, the whimsically Irish voice of Mar Garvey, my guest here at Nightlight right now. She is a documentary filmmaker based in Milwaukee who works for Cartemquin. Did I say that right? Cartemquin, right? Yeah, yeah, I thought so. So, Mar, what's the film community like in Milwaukee, would you say? Is it healthy, thriving?
Very healthy, yeah. I feel like even from the kind of the, I've had the privilege to drop into a few classes at a couple of the colleges here. Like, there's incredible talent coming out student-wise. We just want to keep them here and not have them go to New York or LA or wherever, or even to Chicago. Let's keep them in Wisconsin.
Right.
And even like all the way up to the Milwaukee Film Festival is happening next week or weekend after next, on the 11th. And I've just met some incredible folks there. And one of the reasons I actually like chose Milwaukee, because I was coming up and down to Milwaukee, were the people I met in the film industry, like Susan Kearns, Cara Ogburn from the, our own mutual friend, Cara Mulroney. So it's just thriving, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's not known yet. So I feel like, you know, keeping folks here, making the films here, that's how we keep the jobs here, keep the talent here.
Very well said. You have a couple of films. The Milwaukee Film Festival is just outstanding too, by the way. You have a couple films that are premiering there, as I understand it, in a couple of weeks. Can you talk about those?
Right. So they're both Wisconsin premieres, I believe. The films have been doing the rounds for the last few months. So we have Bike Vessel, which is Eric Seal's film. That's got three screenings. It's one of our favorites. And then we also have No One Asked You, a doc that's got two screenings. Ruth Lightman directed that. And Susan Kearns, who's in Milwaukee, was co-producer on that and had a lot of Milwaukee folks working on it. So that'll be kind of a bit of a homecoming in some sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's thrilling, but it's always thrilling to see the films that, you know, it takes a long time to make a film. I feel like both Ruth and Eric have been working on their film for years, you know, their films for years and years and years. So yeah, it's all about the red carpet and the audience enjoying it. I love it. It's great.
That is great. Kara said you're also a master diorama builder, famous or a Facebook marketplace ace, an extraordinary party host. What can you tell us about those things? Because Conrad and I, we get pretty bored up here. We wouldn't mind a party planner on the
oh,
payroll.
You're more than welcome down. Conrad, you too. Take an hour south. I'll host you for sure. That's a lot. The diorama thing started with the, I don't know if you know the Racine Art Museum. They put on the Peeps diorama competition every year.
Oh, no.
They do. And I, now it's not a diorama. It's a competition. It's more of a, you have to incorporate Peeps into pieces of art, which isn't, I mean, the talent was off the charts. I misunderstood the assignment. I did not even place. But the fun of creating, I did a little Peeps diorama of a Peeps supper club, a sub-peeper club, if you will. And it was a lot of fun. And I feel like I've bitten into a peep. And I think the best use of peeps is in some sort of art as a material for a craft. But yeah, maybe people love peeps. That's where it came from.
I could not agree more. I look at a peep and I'm like, I should enjoy this. It's covered with sugar. But then you eat it. It's very unsatisfying, I must say.
Yeah, but it lasts for a few years. I feel like they don't expire.
Yeah, it's got like Twinkie-esque shelf life.
Right. Yeah.
So my guest is Mar Garvey. Mar, I'm going to ask you in just a minute. I want to give you a minute to think about this because what I do with people who come on the show is I ask them what they've been watching.
Sure.
And if there's anything they're binge watching or cringe watching, so we can get into that. And then I also want to ask you for a documentary you might recommend and your awards. You've won some awards. So that's kind of exciting. Your film, you're obviously a stellar producer if you're bringing home awards. So we'll talk about that too. If you can hang, can you hang?
Absolutely.
All right. And one of these days I'll take you up on that. You got to come up to Green Bay and do an in-person thing because this studio needs more Irish as far as I'm concerned.
Love it. Everywhere does.
All right. That's Mar Garvey. She's coming up more with her next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. More minutes here with documentarian Mar Garvey, who works for Kartemquin Films in Chicago, and she is Milwaukee-based. Mar, how do you know when you have a winner in terms of a documentary film? Is it the subject matter? Is it the filmmaker? Or is it a combination of both? How do you know when you have a hit film or suspect that you might?
Sure. I mean, I feel like the term hit film is a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a minefield because some people's hit film is it's on Netflix. Some people's hit film is success is they made it, you know.
Right.
But a lot of the work we do, because they're kind of social justice chain or films, we really look at, you know, we take pretty serious topics, but we look at them from a very personal, community-based, firsthand experience and trying to tell that story. So for us, it's all about story. I feel like if you have a good story, no matter what the subject is, I mean, you know, the docs that are out there, but everything, there's one on Pez, there's one on, you know, all the way to true crime, all to the way to the ones we do. So, I mean, there's no sure bet, like there's definitely no formula, but it is definitely to do with story and character. Like once you have a story people are interested in hearing, that's a successful film to me, you know, and that's, yeah. It doesn't matter if it costs $50, it doesn't matter if it costs 50 million. If the story isn't there and the characters aren't relatable and you can't feel yourself in them, or you can't recognize someone you know in them, then it's really not, you know, it wouldn't resonate with any audiences, truly.
Can you, if you had to recommend two documentaries to people mm-hmm. listening right now, maybe two that you haven't worked on that you just like as a fan, what would you recommend?
So one of my all-time favorites, and I actually watched it before, it is Kartemquin Films, but I didn't work on it. It was before my time, 1968, well before my time.
Yeah.
It's a film called Inquiring Nuns. And the film is about two nuns in Chicago, like I say, 1968. And they go around and just do... literally shove the mic in people's faces and ask them, are they happy? And then it is just this amazing like piece of history. It is so relatable still, because I feel like if you did that now, you know, on the streets of Green Bay, Milwaukee, Chicago, you'd get similar characters and you'd get maybe similar answers. But it's just incredible. It's just an incredible, incredible film. I love it so much. It's my favorite of the Kartemquin films. And then, I don't know how rude words I can say on the radio, but there's one on Netflix called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. And it is one of my all-time favorite films. Like take out Doc out of it. It's a doc.
Yeah.
It is about a ragtag baseball team that Kurt Russell's dad bought and was manager of. And it's just stunning.
Really?
And it has, yeah, and it has, like you're saying, like, I'm not a massive baseball fan. I appreciate a good baseball uniform, but that's about as far as it goes. And I love the game in terms of the social aspect of it. It's a fun time, but you don't, I feel like when a good story is well told with great characters, the subject matter doesn't really, really matter. Like, you don't have to be a fan of what it's about. You don't have to know anything about what it's about. And this film, to me, is just like, when you talk about the perfect film, like, it has everything, you know. It has suspense, it has relatable characters, it's sweet, it's funny, it's heartbreaking, and it's quite serious then in terms of, you know, representation in sports, all the rest of it. So it's just, it's a great film. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
That, those are great answers, because what I'm fascinated by is sometimes when you watch an independent film, whether it's documentary or a narrative, sometimes if you're invested in the characters and the story, the production value doesn't always matter. It's always, it's like icing on a cake, but people want to be invested and they want to lose themselves in other people's lives or a great story. Yeah. Those are great answers. And I want to say that Nun film was at the Wisconsin Film Festival a few years ago. They might have done a restored print or something.
It could have been. It gets around. Like, it's, yeah. In the summer, it's going to be at a Philip Glass retrospective in the BFI in London. So it's a pretty, like, relatively in the independent doc world, you know, it's a well-known film, but it is timeless. It is, you know, and it's what, nearly over 50 years old. So, you know, but it's just great.
That's crazy. So what awards have you won, Mara? Cara told me you won awards for your films. That's exciting.
It is exciting. They're Irish awards. So before I came, the American awards were on my bucket list. As it was appearing on local radio. And local TV,
I hope so.
A Midwest Emmy, maybe. So they were for films I did. I worked on a film a few years ago called Atlantic with Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, great actor.
Banshees of Inisherin. We love him. He's just a national treasure and must be protected at all costs. But we did this amazing project. It was about fishing communities and how fishing is affected with, you know, cost of living and keeping fishermen in their jobs and all. But it took three communities. So it's Norway, Canada, Newfoundland and Canada, and Ireland. And it just looked at three comparable fishing communities out of the three countries and just kind of talked about the race for resources in our seas. And Brendan Gleeson did the narration for that. So when we were thinking about, you know, who would be the voice of the sea, it was Brendan Gleeson.
Oh,
so
that's great.
Right. So yeah, we were nominated and won a couple of awards for that. And actually that film did really well in the States as well, in Chagrin, Ohio. Shout out to Chagrin, Ohio, Documentary Film Festival, one of the best in the land, I think.
Nice.
And a few awards up, but yeah, I'll keep you posted on the awards that might be coming, hopefully, in this while I'm stateside.
I hope so. I feel like for you to roll the dice and come to America, it's just, I hope you find whatever it is you want here. This is so great. And you're obviously making some pretty amazing films. So I'm glad you came on to share your story with us tonight and your accent. I love it.
Thanks.
You got to come back sometime, Mar, and I wish you luck at the film festival in a couple weeks. Go get them.
Thank you so much, Pete. This You're is welcome. A pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. Have a great night, Mar. Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. That's filmmaker Mar Garvey. Check out her work. She will be at the Milwaukee Film Festival. She's got two films, Bike Vessel and No One Asked You. So look for those. And maybe she'll even do a Q&A. I should have asked her that. Conrad, I should have asked her that. I forgot to ask her if she's doing any Q&As. Those are the best parts about film festivals, are the Q&As. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Wisconsin Film Festival that opens this weekend. And 2 weeks from God.
Bless you.
Jeez. It's like I got a minute to go. I need the Heimlich maneuver. And the Milwaukee Film Festival is outstanding as well. We had some really solid film festivals here in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you to Mark Garvey. Thank you so much, On Stage for Cancer, for being here in the studio. Thanks for your texts and calls. As always, we will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pete Schwabe. Good night, Wisconsin.